Hey there, Jen here, and this is a happy bit all about how to raise confident kids, something we all want, right? Well, let's have a quick word for our sponsor, and then we're going to come back and jump right in. Hey, have you heard of Myro deodorant? They're making deodorant better, like 10 times better. It's not the drugstore stuff with the meh scents that you're used to. It's a new kind of deodorant that lives up to your tantruming toddlers and your power poses and your busiest, most stressful days. They make natural deodorant using essential oils that release over time. And I love that there's no toxic anything in it. There's 0% aluminum, 0% parabens. And here's how it works. You choose your scent, your case, and your color. You get a refresh every 3 months delivered straight to your door. And that's about the time most people would run out. And you can switch scents, press pause, or stop literally anytime you want. What's really cool, it's a refillable deodorant case, which means Myro deodorant is producing approximately 50% less plastic waste than other drugstore deodorants. My favorite scent is Solar Flare, which is, listen to this, a combination of orange, juniper, and sunflower. It smells fantastic, and it works. I love getting to the end of the day and knowing I still smell good, which I can't say is true for all other natural deodorants. Well, good news, you can get 50% off your first order of Myro deodorant and get started today for just $5. Go to mymyro.com/happywomen and use code happywomen. So let me spell that for you. Mymyro, mymyro.com/happywomen and use promo code happywomen for 50% off your first order.
Welcome back. Confident kids. Sometimes I feel you're either born with it or not. Kind of like we talked about in this interview with Claire on Monday. If you haven't heard that yet, go back and listen. It's all about building confidence in our girls. That's at jenrideay.com/131. Well, anyway, I've been thinking about that. And it's hard to talk about your own family without it sounding like you're trying to brag. But I have to do this one. And I think I've earned it because I've struggled a lot with my kids. And I want to preface this by saying I have, in my opinion, really challenging at times kids. They are amazing in so many ways. They're smart and they are confident. And I'm going to tell you my theories on why that is in a moment. But they also tend to be very high energy and distractible and discovering new things. I call it the ADHD/entrepreneur brain that I have. There are some emotional imbalances, some anxiety, some depression, and we all face things like that. Some of my kids seem to be so smart that they're ultra left brained like their dad. So all of these things in combination make our house a really freaking lively place. I mean, I'm not kidding. Let me tell you a story. One time I led the children's organization at our church. There were 150 kids in that thing. And I'm an organized person. I felt like I was knocking it out of the park, at least logistically. However, that was a rough time in our life. Jane, my fifth child, was probably 9 months. My husband was really struggling with stress. So sometimes he had to leave and go take a break, maybe sit in the car or drive around the block. And I would have 9-month-old Jane on my hip. Several of my own kids would have been kicked out of their primary classes because, hey, my kids like to move. They don't like to sit. They like to share their amazing, smart thoughts because they're confident and not exactly be the quiet mouse that many teachers at a church want them to be. So I would be trying to lead this organization, 150 kids. There would be the group time when all the kids come together. Baby on my hip, my own kids being brought to me. I was crying like 2 out of the 4 Sundays. Anyway, I didn't do it forever. I eventually stopped. I feel like I had post-traumatic stress syndrome from it. But anyway, I suppose I learned I can do hard things. I was determined, right? But just 2 weeks ago, I learned that this is going to illustrate just how hard my kids are, if that story didn't do it enough. I wasn't the only one noticing. Just 2 weeks ago, someone told me during that time when I was leading the children's organization, she overheard 2 women talking in the gym at her church and saying, I don't know why she's in charge of the kids because her kids are the worst. And the other one nodding her head and saying, so true. I mean, that statement even to this day, years later, Jane's 8 now. So that was 7 years ago. It still kind of hurts to think that there are people out there who are judging. And it's also sad that we're looking for proof that hierarchy matters. You know, I had a position of leadership, therefore I needed to be perfect. Crazy town. Not true. Well, anyway, even just recently, one of my friend's daughters babysat for our kids. And my friend called me, and I don't think she meant the comment the way it sounded, but she said, "Yeah, Shay said your kids are actually really good at your house." Like it was a shock. So anyway, that illustrates I have hard kids. So now let's get back to the topic at hand. My kids are confident. They are that crazy combination of smart, stubborn. They know what they want. And I've said before, my kids are all a bunch of alphas. My husband and I are too. It's like throwing a bunch of alpha dogs in a ring and we're fighting it out to the death. So we're all learning the art of meditation around here. All of us. We're all learning the art of breathing. We are getting way more zen and I'm loving it. So confidence. That goes back to my idea. How do you raise confident children? I think a lot of it is genetic. My husband and I are just ridiculously confident. And I was thinking about Gretchen Rubin's four tendencies. And that is back from episode number 116. You can listen again at jenwrightay.com/116. So essentially, there are four tendencies that kind of define how we interact with the world. There are rebels who don't meet inner or outer expectations. There are questioners who tend to only meet their own inner expectations, but nothing outer. Upholders who meet both inner and outer expectations, and then obligers who meet only outer expectations. Well, so those upholders and those obligers care about outer expectations. My family of rebels and questioners, we don't care about outer expectations. That has given me an advantage in starting my business because I can more easily push through fear as I set aside and say again to myself, well, I don't really care what they think. Now, that's not exactly true. I do care what people think, just like those women talking in the corner of the gym at church. And it hurts, you know, I feel. But a lot of times, my inner expectations trump all of that outer stuff, and I know what I have to do. That's why spirituality and listening to my intuition are so important to me, because when I know where the path is, I'm going to go down it at all costs with full commitment and determination. My kids are the same way. They are driven by their inner expectations, mostly. I have some questioners with rebel tendencies. They know what they want. They're smart. They're opinionated. They're going to go for it. So how do you increase this with your own kids if you feel like you're raising more of the rebel? I mean, now, I'm not saying that you can't be confident if you're an upholder or an obliger. I'm not saying that at all. Gretchen Rubin is an upholder. She's seriously confident. She is doing so many great things. I know Kruti Desai, who was on last week, episode 130. She is an obliger slash rebel, and she is totally confident. I love her. So that doesn't necessarily play a factor, but how do we, no matter what our kids are like, increase that self-confidence? Well, I think number one, we need to let them fail and we need to teach them to celebrate failure, much like Claire said in the episode earlier this week, in episode 131. Let them fail. My husband would let our kids dress themselves from 18 months onward. He would just patiently sit there and let them work at it. And sometimes I felt frustrated. Why wasn't he doing it for them? It would be so much faster. But he just let them muddle through. And I think that step of doing that over and over again in every situation built that confidence that, hey, they're in charge of themselves. They can rock this. So let them fail. Number two, celebrate those failures. I love to talk at the dinner table about how did you try something hard and how did it go? And then when they say it didn't work, I say, awesome. You were one of the people that wasn't afraid to fail. The most successful people in the world have just failed more than everyone else. I make failure into this most rockin' amazing thing. And I want my kids to see that and to get excited about failing because it means they were in the ring. There is that speech by Theodore Roosevelt. I'm going to share it now and I'll put it on the show notes page at jenwrightay.com/happy131. It goes like this. It is not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. So really, it's exactly as Claire said in the interview earlier this week. It's about daring to fail, to dare greatly, to step into that arena and get dirty and bloody and sweaty. So number one, let your children fail. Number two, celebrate their failures. I'm going to add a quick number three. Praise their actions, not their outcome. Praise determination. Praise that if your daughter's learning to ride a bike, I love how you're pedaling so determinedly. I love how you're pedaling fast. I love how you're not afraid to fall. Just celebrate the doing, not the outcome. Really, in the end, life is a series of just doing things. And all these steps build the confidence that you want your children to have. So number one, let them fail. Number two, celebrate failure. And number three, compliment them. Notice the doing and not the outcome. And those are my tips for helping to raise confident children. Now, one last thing. Make sure you're modeling these things for yourself. Don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to pursue that dream or to follow that passion. Be your best self. Dare greatly, as Brené Brown says, or as Theodore Roosevelt said. Be your best self and don't be afraid to get dirty, bloody, and sweaty. It's not clean in that arena. It's not easy, but it's so great to be in the arena and not just watching from the sideline. Failure is amazing. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week. And until then, make it a fantastic weekend. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Vibrant Happy Women podcast at www.jenridey.com.